Please pray with me. God, may your word be proclaimed among us today. May you intercede in our hearts with sighs too deep for words, that whether through my words or in spite of them, your message may be proclaimed in our hearts and set as a seal upon our minds. Amen. So even before I began working here at North Shore, my ministry in Chicago has, on occasion, led me to accompany folk to some of the places that I consider to be among the most hellish designed by human hands. I am referring to public benefits offices.
Yes, preach.
The places you go to apply for food assistance, Medicaid, or financial assistance for housing and utilities. I'll never forget my first time going to a public benefits office. I was accompanying a woman who needed to apply for supplemental nutritional assistance, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or as it's known, SNAP. Spoiler alert, it was not a SNAP. Now, for those of you who have had the good fortune to never have to go to a public benefits office, let me explain. They are cleverly and carefully designed to be the most discouraging places you could imagine. That day, we sat down in these rows. There are almost always rows of hard plastic chairs. And you sit in them, and in this particular case, we were all facing this horrendous green wall. It was chartreuse, really. It was a chartreuse wall. Chartreuse is not a color walls are supposed to come in. And they seemed to know this, because it was the only wall in the place that was painted that color. The workers didn't have to face a chartreuse wall. Only the clients who are there to seek services. So we sit down, facing this wall. An hour goes by. I'm starting to go a little crazy from the stimulation from this wall. I'm starting to hallucinate, possibly a little. An hour and a half goes by. I am getting unreasonably angry. So I turn to my companion and I said, you know, how are you doing? She was also irritated, but she wanted to stick it out. Yeah. And, you know, she was in charge of this mission because she was the one with something at stake. So finally, 2 hours later, we were called back, and we got to sit in a cubicle where we were able to fill out the SNAP paperwork, surrounded by, and I kid you not, stacks of paper where I could very clearly read the names and social security numbers of other clients. Now, this was before the budget impasse and the massive cutbacks that we have seen to social support programs. The most recent time I went to a public benefits office, we were waiting for 6 hours, which I was told by the guard is normal. And on that particular visit, the moment that sticks out most clearly was when one of the guards stood up in front of everyone who had gathered an hour, even 2 hours before the office even opened, and said, "Listen, I know you have problems, I know you're suffering, but I'm not here to hear your story. I'm just here to take your names and get you upstairs as quickly as possible. I really hope you get better, but I honestly don't care." And as appalling as that sounds, as I say it again, I couldn't blame him, especially at that time, because he and all of the other workers in that place have to come to this awful place day after day where they are faced with the deepest suffering and need and desperation in our city, and they're not given the resources that they need to actually meet that need. So they have to do what they can to protect themselves, to steel themselves, both logistically and emotionally. And it's an extreme example, but we all do this in different ways. Because there's so much pain and there's so much need around us. We all find ways to steal ourselves, to inoculate ourselves in order to keep functioning in our lives. Now, I always leave public benefits offices cursing the injustice of a world that would put those in the deepest need, that would make them face these greatest indignities in order to get their basic needs met. And I could continue to do that today, ad nauseum. But after spending a week with this scripture, with this story of Zacchaeus, I find my mind going in a different direction. Instead, I'm wondering, what if, instead of giving my tax dollars to the government to allocate and to figure out how to give to people in need, I was told, you keep it, set it aside, we are going to send these people to you. You decide how to apportion the money. You decide who to give what. How would I do it? How would I manage logistically and emotionally? And I wonder that, because that's the situation that Zacchaeus is putting himself in. It's easy to see this story as a kind of Christmas carol. Zacchaeus is the Scrooge whose heart is warmed. He is aglow and aflutter with good intentions. He goes and buys Christmas dinner. Everyone is happy. God bless us, everyone. But that's not how it's going to work. Zacchaeus is opening his door to a world of hurt and pain that goes farther and deeper than even his abundant financial resources can meet. Jericho is a city. It's got a lot of people in need. How does he choose whom to help? How much does each person get? We talked about this robustly at youth group on Friday night. Should Zacchaeus give more to the people he perceives to be in more need? What happens when they come back the next day? Yes. What happens when, God forbid, they are not grateful for this handout from this wealthy man in this beautiful house who has been cheating them all these years? Yes. Zacchaeus is opening a public benefits office of which he is the sole proprietor. Yes. God help him. But of course, that's the point. He's in this situation because God helped him. Yes. He has more literally than any of us found Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was, and he saw. He has been changed. As the cover of the bulletin says, he has been converted and convicted. Now, Father Gustavo Gutierrez was a Latin American priest who galvanized the liberation theology movement starting in the 60s, calls conversion a starting place, a break with the life lived up to that point. A break with the life lived up to that point. Now notice, conversion in this understanding is not principally a change of religious identity. Zacchaeus did not stop being Jewish after he met Jesus. He did not stop going to the temple and worshiping God. But he began a new spiritual journey. Another prime example that Gustavo Gutierrez gives of someone who was truly converted was the Archbishop Oscar Romero of El Salvador, who today is being canonized as a saint in the Catholic Church and is going to be put on a lot of altars of people who, were he still alive, still preaching, probably would not like him very much. Romero was already a believer, He was already a Christian leader. But his conversion to the cause of Christ happened when he got woke to the realities of the people that he was called to minister to. He was torn out of an upper class academic world where he was quite comfortable and placed in a new world, the world of the poor. It was a world that was described just last week in the service of lament and healing in the wake of the Laquan McDonald case by one of the members of our Hispanic congregation. Her words were, "We were jailed, we were put in dungeons where supposedly we had disappeared, and our only commitment was to work for our people." Yes. Our only commitment was to work for our people. Romero's conversion to this world moved him to speak out like the biblical prophets before him against the systems that had crushed the poor to the ground. This kind of authentic conversion is not something that happens in a single moment. It is not a once and for all, you are set, sealed, and saved, and it's done. It is an ongoing process. It is a radical moment, but it leads to an ongoing process. And that's a process that includes stumbling blocks. That's a process that includes temptations to turn back. If Zacchaeus is going to truly commit himself to the poor at the level that he proposes, he will not simply be able to give money to those in need and turn away again. Once he opens his door to that flood of need, it cannot easily be shut. He will have to attend deeply to the stories and the hurts of the people. He will listen to them, he will know them, and he will be changed. Father Gutierrez gives that kind of relationship a name. He calls it solidarity. Zacchaeus will doubt. He will not know the way forward. If he does this right, he will sometimes be taken advantage of. Yes. If he does this right, his heart will be broken again and again and again. Amen. And I can tell you right now, he won't be enough. He will eventually fail and burn out. Even with God with him, he will have to steel himself and guard his heart, and he will end up saying what that worker in that public benefits office said, unless he has a community to do it with him. And that, my friends, is hashtag why I give to NSBC. Because our giving interweaves us in relationship with one another. It draws us into a deeper commitment, a solidarity with one another and with the world around us. Together as a church, we can truly face our continual need for conversion. We can stay strong as we are weak, as we continually open our hearts to the needs of those around us. We can stay creative as we ask together how we might commit ourselves anew to the task of solidarity with those in pain. Siblings, on this road of solidarity, we will struggle, we will doubt, we will fear, and we will be exhausted. But through it all, the Spirit of God goes with us, and she will hold us in that peace that passes all understanding, and she will minister to us through the love that we show one another. As we love each other with loyalty and forgiveness, as we share joys and heartaches, and as we care for each other in times of need, as we humbly welcome friends and strangers to share this journey, be they straight or queer, whether they speak English, Karen, Kurini, Burmese, Pao, Spanish, Cebuano. People of all abilities, all races, and all socioeconomic statuses. This is the mandate of our church covenant, which you can find in your bulletin today. It is a holy promise to walk with one another and with those around us in the way of Christ, which is to say, on the road of solidarity. I invite you to take it with you today, to read it, and to ponder it, because in 3 weeks, at our joint worship service, we will not only turn in our financial pledges, we will also renew these pledges to one another, these pledges to follow Zacchaeus in giving deeply of ourselves, and in so doing, to follow Jesus. May we be converted anew. Amen.